Now here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you had a very pleasant weekend. It's lovely out there today. But if you can spare an hour of your time tonight, we would appreciate it, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we welcome your participation. It's very, very important to get this program going. The number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. We'll be covering current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. So again, that's 415-841-4134. We have some lines open right now. It's a great time to call in. If sometimes if you wait a little too long, you cannot get in, because we do get a little crowded toward the end of the show. So give us a call as soon as you can, 415-841-4134. I would like to remind you of our email address, so I'll go ahead and do that. And that's mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. That's mindsovermatter, one word, at yahoo.com. It's always great to hear from our listeners. If you have a comment or a question, you can certainly pass that along to us. We don't read them during the show, but over the course of the week. And one of our listeners did mention that we weren't repeating the answers enough again. So if you'd like anything repeated, please just feel free to ask if you call up, or we'll try to remember to do it on our own too. But if you specifically like something repeated, the answer, please feel free to ask. So, and if you'd like to hear our show online, you can certainly do that anywhere in the known world, providing you have a computer or something similar. By going to kalw.org, that's kalw.org, and likewise a podcast, God willing, as I always say, should be available after the show at kalw.org. But since, you know, Debbie's here, I know it'll be done well. So, and so we're going to start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. And here's the first. Jerry Nachman spent the day watching the San Rafael Pacifics battle the Oahu Warriors at Marin County the way baseball was played in 1912, except for the burrito eating contest and the tricycle race between innings.
Thank you, Dana. Our moderator, my moderator, Dana Rodriguez, wishes me good luck with my new car, which I got when I found that the Essex and Hupmobile dealerships had closed.
All right, so that is us, and we'll begin the questioning with Jerry Nachman.
Okay. On TV Guide's list of the 50 greatest TV dads of all time, Andy Griffith ranked second. Who was first?
Well,
I'll give you two guesses.
All right. I'll say Bill Cosby.
Yes.
All right.
That was pretty easy. Pretty easy.
It's usually the newer show that, you know, the ones there's more of a memory of it.
That's not exactly a new show.
Well, it's a newer than Andy Griffith show.
Yeah.
Okay,
here's another quick one. Where in the United States were the first commercially produced sunglasses sold?
Where?
Well, I'm looking for a city, but yeah.
City. Would you say there was a specific reason for that it would be the city?
Yes.
Okay. Specific reason, huh? Okay. Did they build themselves as the sunglasses capital of the world or something like that?
No.
All right. Huh. In the United States. Well, I figured it'd be someplace that would get a lot of sun. How about Miami Beach?
No.
All right.
Logical guess,
yes.
But no.
All right. Why don't you repeat the question?
Where in the United States were the first commercially produced sunglasses sold?
Okay. All right. I'll do a couple questions here. What attraction in the last year, what attraction has displaced the Empire State Building in New York as the most photographed building in that city? What attraction in the last year has displaced the Empire State Building in New York City as the most photographed building in that
city?
Well,
the building that went up in place of the World Trade Towers.
No.
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 Hmm.
I'll give you another guess.
Yeah. Since then.
Right.
Is it a new building or has it been a classic
it's
building?
Yes, it's a relatively new building.
Relatively new building. Oh, boy. I got to think about that.
Okay. So once more, what attraction has displaced the Empire State Building in New York City within the last year as the most photographed building in New York? So what is that? And let's see. Maybe something Jerry will like more. What was the first movie adaptation of a comic book? A comic book, not a comic strip. What was the first movie adaptation of a comic book? And you don't have to give me a specific name, but tell me at least the character that was involved.
Movie adaptation.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, gee. So I presume this was not a comic strip, he said. Comic book.
It was... I think it was both, probably. But and I'm speaking more of a comic book.
Well, I don't know if this was ever a movie, but how about Mutt and Jeff?
That's good, but no. Mm-mm.
Was that ever a movie?
It might have been some shorts. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the first movie adaptation of a comic book? Okay, who was the character that was adapted for the movies?
Bringing Up Father?
No.
Okay. Mm-mm. Jiggs and Maggie, otherwise known as.
And what building displaced the Empire State Building last year as the most photographed place in New York City? And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
It's Jim and Noe.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Noe. Oh, Jim and Noe. I'm sorry. I thought you said Noe. Sorry.
So Eugene O'Neill produced a piece first time in the 20s, Pasadena, California. Subsequently, was turned into a radio play in the early 90s in San Francisco by a local radio producer.
An early O'Neill play, you say?
Eugene O'Neill.
Right.
An early play of his, you mean?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Early play by Eugene O'Neill, you're saying?
Yeah, it was first premiered in Pasadena in the 20s.
Okay.
And that's what you got. Go for it.
But then, okay, so it's an early play by Eugene O'Neill, and it was first produced probably at the Pasadena Playhouse. And then you said it became a radio play later. Or you didn't say...
Subsequently, it has been produced as a radio play. Mm-hmm. I think it was done in the early 90s by a local Bay Area radio producer.
Okay. And was it ever done on Broadway?
No, I don't think it's been done anywhere else. And just as a side note to it, local area, sort of local area contemporary composer Lou Harrison composed music for it.
Well, the only early O'Neill play I can think of is called Bound East for Cardiff.
Keep going.
Okay. Is it better known than that?
It's much lesser known than that.
Much lesser known than that. Oh, well.
Is it a one act?
No, it's a long, long, long
story. Oh, really? Oh,
well, I don't know. It sounds too obscure.
No, we don't know.
Okay. We'll leave it out there. It's a good one.
Okay. All right, thank you.
You have a great, great show. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Here from San Mateo.
Hello.
Is that the most photographed building in New York City? Is it Rockefeller Center?
It is not Rockefeller Center.
Oh, a couple questions.
Okay.
Here's one. It's an I Love Lucy question.
All right.
What was the first only episode of I Love Lucy that featured the episode's title at the beginning?
What, I didn't get that.
What was the only episode of I Love Lucy that featured the episode's title at the beginning?
The episode was the subject of a couple of questions.
I don't get it. Can you explain?
Well, I was trying to say, you know when he put the title, though, you're right at the beginning, you know, in type? It was right at the beginning of the episode.
Okay.
Oh, you mean it was in the episode? It was spoken?
Yeah, right at the beginning.
Oh, well.
I see.
That's too difficult.
Could it have been the pilot, by any chance?
No, it wasn't the pilot.
It was spoken.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't spoken. It was featured on type on the right at the beginning.
Oh, I see.
It has a city in the title, I can tell you that.
It had a city. Was it Hollywood, Here We Come or something?
Yeah, well, you're close. You're on the right track.
California, Here We Come. Here I Come.
Yeah, it wasn't California, but you're on the right track. It was...
Let's see. They made a big thing about Well, they were in Europe, and then they were in Hollywood.
Yeah, you're on the right track. It was the Hollywood. You know what the name of the episode was?
Hello.
Like Anaheim, Azusa, Cucamonga.
You're close.
Disneyland, Eureka?
Nope. You want me to give it to you?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's L.A. at Last.
L.A. at Last, okay.
There was the episode, with William Holden.
Right.
Oh, yeah, the Brown Derby, yeah.
Yeah.
There's the one with Eve Arden.
Yes.
And here's my second question. What did Alfred Hitchcock film was originally scheduled off broadcast network television, but due to the murder of a certain politician's wife's twin sister, was put in syndication instead?
So it was a feature film.
Wife's twin sister was brutally murdered on because of psycho subject matter. It was put in syndication instead.
Whose wife? I get to say.
Some certain politician. It wasn't like Charles Percy's.
Oh, yes, it is.
Okay. That was his daughter.
Yeah, it was Sharon Percy Rockefeller.
Right.
You know what the film was?
You mean who played her?
Psycho?
Yes, give yourself another bell.
Okay. No, it was they didn't show Psycho on TV because of a.
No, it wasn't seen as well. It is, was originally going to be framed on the CBS Friday Night Movies, but after the murder of Sharon Percy's twin sister, it was put in syndication instead.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gareth.
Yeah.
And Jerry, you go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to name six famous people. They're all actors, of course. And you tell me who their equally famous former or current father-in-law was.
Father-in-law.
Okay. George Clooney. Daniel Day-Lewis. John McEnroe. Chris Sarandon. Jane Seymour. And Kenneth Cole. I guess the designer, I guess. No, they're all not actors. Okay, George Clooney, Daniel Day-Lewis, John McEnroe, Chris Sarandon, Jane Seymour, and Kenneth Cole. I want you to give me the name of their equally famous former or current father-in-law.
George Clooney? Father-in-law? I didn't think he'd ever been married. Father-in-law?
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that, too.
You're not thinking of like Jose Ferrer or something, are you? For George Clooney?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because that was.
No, that's his. No.
Yeah, that was his aunt's.
That's his uncle.
Yeah. John McEnroe, was that Ryan O'Neill?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that's the idea.
And Jane Seymour. Why don't you go through the names once more?
George Clooney. Daniel Day-Lewis, Chris Sarandon, Jane Seymour, and Kenneth Cole.
Kenneth Cole. Okay, and you're looking for their famous...
Their father and current or former... current or former father-in-law. Right.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Again, that's 415-841-4134 with a question or answer. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Hi, this is Eileen in San Francisco.
Hi, Eileen.
Hi. The commercially produced sunglasses, would that be Hollywood for...
No, that's a good guess, but no, not Hollywood.
Okay. And then I thought George Clooney was never married.
That's what he
said, but according to my sources, it might have been an error. You know, early marriage, and we don't know about.
Maybe. Okay. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Dave in SF.
Hey, Dave.
When Babe Ruth played for the New York Yankees, he had a favorite bat boy. The bat boy grew up and became a movie star. Who was the bat boy that grew up and became a Hollywood star?
William Bendix.
Yes. Good for you.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Thank you.
Good job. Thanks.
So he played him, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that must have been very early in
I don't know how I knew
20s.
That. 20s. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe in the 30s. I don't know. Huh. That's interesting. Okay. All right. So this is the theater question for you. and I need three answers. Okay? It's kind of a, it's sort of a riddle-ish sort of thing. This started as a Broadway play in 1952. It won a Tony Award, more than one, I think. Under a different name, it was made into a film in 1955. By the way, the 1952 play was a big success. The film was also a success in 1955, and the lead actress was nominated for an Academy Award.
Under That's enough. Go ahead.
Under a new name, it was made into a musical on Broadway in 1965. And that was also a reasonable success, and one of the actors was nominated for a Tony Award. So, what are the three names? So, it started out as a straight play on Broadway. It became a film, a straight film, in 1955.
Under a different name.
Under a different name. And then under yet a different name, it became a musical in 1965 by an extremely well-known composer who did the music. And each time it had the same person who did the book and, or the screenplay each time.
Well, is that all about Eve?
It is not.
It became applause and...
Nope.
But it wasn't, you know, I don't think it was ever a play, was it?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But remember, there are three different names here.
Yeah, I know.
So a straight play in 1952, a film, a straight film in 1955, and a musical version of this in 1965.
That's a great question. I think we all may need a little more help later, maybe.
Okay.
If you can think of any...
they were all successful. Again, the lead actress in the 1952 play won a Tony Award for it.
Uh-huh.
The lead actress in the 1955 film version was nominated for Best Actress. And I think the lead actress in the 1965 musical was nominated for Best Actress, too.
Mm.
Or as a Tony, you know, for a Tony Award.
I'm just going to throw out Bus Stop. Was that a...
No.
That became a musical, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But no.
That's too far back, I guess. Yeah.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is David Price Weldy in San Francisco.
Hi, David.
Hi. I'm loving your show again. I had a couple answers, perhaps.
Okay.
Or stabs at answers. For the most photographed building in New York, would that be the Apple headquarters?
It is. It's not the headquarters.
I mean,
it's the Apple store. It's
the
cube on Fifth Avenue, the big glass cube.
Oh,
of the Apple store.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I'll take a guess. Would it be Annie Get Your Gun?
Not Annie Get Your Gun.
Okay.
Because remember, there are three different names here. They changed the name each time they did it.
Okay.
Can't wait to hear
I will
this.
Wait and listen. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, that's a very intriguing question all the way around.
I like that. That's my kind of theater question.
Yeah, yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, Sparky and Maddie, how are you all doing?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, we were at the Oakland Coliseum ourselves today seeing the Oakland Oaks host the Seattle Rainiers.
Very good, very good.
1955. And speaking of 1955, as you know, Ernest Borgnine passed away today.
Right.
Yeah.
Who is now, and for once I have a question for you, who is now the earliest living Oscar winner?
Of any, in any...
Best Actor Male.
Best Actor.
Well, Louise Rainier, we always hear.
No, Best Male.
Best Actor Male.
Oh, Best Male.
Is it Maximilian Schell?
It is Maximilian Schell.
Okay.
And that's it. We're done.
Right. That's the last year in which all the winners are still alive. 1960.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Or 60, was it 60 or 61? One of those,
I don't want to know. I want to guess it. It's a great question.
All right.
52, that's very early.
So 52, 55, and 65.
Okay.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Terry in San Francisco.
Hi, Terry. Go ahead, please. Are you there?
Lost him.
Oh, I'm sorry. Call back, Terry, okay? We'll get you on. Sorry about that.
I'm here.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
I think Daniel Day-Lewis's father-in-law is Arthur Miller.
Correct.
Oh, good job.
Yeah, his daughter, Rebecca Miller. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay, what is the last capital in the world that is still divided?
It's the capital of Cyprus.
That's right.
Yes, which I just, the name went right out of my head. But
you have to get the name of the city.
Yes, it'll come to me in a minute.
Okay.
But that's, yeah.
Okay.
In the meantime, give another question.
Oh, I'm running out. Okay. What country citizens work the longest hours in Europe?
Of course, you want to say the Germans, but I don't think that's true anymore. Longest hours. I read some places the Portuguese work the least, but...
ooh, better not say that.
Well, I mean, it's no slam against them. They just enjoy the longer, leisurely day.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's see. What? Would this be a surprise, would you say? Or no?
To you, maybe? It could be.
How about the English?
No.
All right. Okay. Why don't you repeat the question?
What country citizens work the longest hours in Europe?
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of a Matter.
Hi, yes. Ed, how are you?
Good.
So with the discovery of the Higgs particle, I'm not totally convinced, probably 99%, maybe 90%. It actually could have been discovered more than 15 years ago if it wasn't for the demise of this project. Do you know which project it was?
How many years ago?
The U.S. I'd say about 15 years ago. Maybe
15 years ago. The demise of this project.
Of this project, yeah. Thanks to the Republican Party.
It's not the like the super collider or something like that, is it? No.
You're right.
Oh, it is a
collider. You're right. Okay. Second very quick question. Whenever you buy frozen food, they always warn you not to thaw it before you cook it. Do you know why?
Not to defrost it before you cook it.
Right.
Okay.
In other words, if you're going to keep it in the rest for a few days, you always should put it in the freezer, not on the refrigerator itself. There is a chance you of dying if, in fact, you don't obey this this request by the food maker. So, do you know why?
Is it by defrosting it? You're defrosting any possible bacteria, but if you put it in boiling water, you kill the bacteria?
For sure, but if you keep it in the freezer, though, you can keep it, as long as you want.
Right.
Not any problem. But what kind of bacteria? You're right. You're on the right track.
E. coli?
You're right again, but why would it kill you? It would kill you like within hours or a day or two.
That I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. Should I give you the answer?
Yeah, go ahead.
Botulism, the most poisonous poison in the world. And it happened because when the package is sealed, you have no oxygen. And just fairly harmless E. coli without oxygen, what makes the botulism poison, which is extremely... So I recommend that to everybody. If you buy frozen food, always keep it frozen until you cook it. Very last question that's very important came about this week. Polonium is an element, radioactive element. What is it named after, by the way?
It's named after Poland.
And who named it?
Marie Curie.
Very good. So it is in the news lately for poisoning a world-famous man who died some years ago, about 8 years ago.
Yasser Arafat.
Yasser Arafat. How about in 2006?
Although that hasn't been established, actually.
Well, it hasn't been established. No, it was suspected.
Right.
But in fact, it did poison somebody in 2006. Do you know the name of that person?
Is it that one that was stabbed by the umbrella, by the Bulgarian?
That stabbed by the umbrella was Ricin.
Okay. No, I don't. I don't know.
It is a Russian writer, so maybe one of your audience can answer that. And I just would like to say, what tiny amount, fraction of a gram of polonium, would be definite death sentence. There's no treatment for it.
All right.
So if anybody knows the name of the Russian that was poisoned, obviously by the Russian intelligence, to tell us his name.
Okay.
He died very, very bad death.
Thanks, Ian.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. The panel tonight is just the two of us. Jerry Nachman, of course, well-known Bay Area writer, and his last book right here in our stage tonight, Ed Sullivan's America, still available around in some bookstores and online. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening, of course, to Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show, as they keep telling me. So the number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. And, of course, you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station.
Can I just ask you quickly, is the Broadway play that became a film, that became a musical under three different names, was the play by somebody well-known?
Yes.
Okay. Who?
Well, you would get it. You would know. That would give you a too big a hint.
I know. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
But okay. But remember that the same person who wrote the 52 play also did the screenplay for the 55 film and did the book for the musical version as well.
Oh.
So, or the 65 musical.
65
version.
Musical.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And let's see. Is it my turn? I think it might be my turn, so I'll do this. All right. What famous TV star of the 1960s real name was Bamboo Harvester?
Of the 60s?
Yeah.
Is this a man or a woman? Can you tell us?
I'm not going to say.
I don't think that'll give it away. It's just interesting.
What famous TV star of the 1960s real name was Bamboo Harvester?
That's hard to believe, but I guess.
It's true. 60s. And yet, it happened.
Bamboo. Can you tell us what kind of a show this was? The person was a star in?
It was a situation comedy.
Oh. Huh.
So once more, what famous TV star of the 1960s real name was Bamboo Harvester? Obviously, it's made sense to change that name.
Yeah.
And
at the age of one, I would think would be a good
idea. Yeah, I'm not sure how old they were. The number to join us is 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
The comic book movie person wasn't Blondie, was it?
It was not Blondie, no.
That's okay. A very good guess, yeah.
So, I'm pretty sure I'm right on this, except I don't know the 65 part, but I can make a guess.
Yes.
But I think the play, movie, musical you're talking about is by Arthur Lawrence, and it's Cuckoo's... The Time of the Cuckoo, Shirley Booth got a Tony.
Right.
Katharine Hepburn got a nomination for Summertime.
Right.
And the 65 musical, is that Do I Hear a Waltz?
That is correct.
You nailed it.
Very good.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Very good.
Oh, my God.
I'm very pleased with myself.
You should be. That's the trifecta there.
Okay, you made my night.
All right, thanks a lot.
Bye.
Yes, the 52 play for Shirley Booth, who won a Tony Award. It was written specifically for her, actually, by Arthur Lawrence, was Time of the Cuckoo, and then it was made into a film in 1955 by David Lean and called Summertime with Katharine Hepburn, who was nominated for Best Actress for it. And then it was made into a musical in 1965 called Do I Hear a Waltz with Richard Rodgers. And Stephen Sondheim did the music. In the lyrics.
A collaboration that was
not very happy.
Yeah.
So,
but I like some of the songs from that. It didn't do that well.
No.
But,
and yes,
there's a song in there about airline food.
Do you remember who played the lead role in the Do I Hear a Waltz?
Elizabeth Allen.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, I've got the album. Is it Rosanna Brazzi is the lover?
You're pretty close. Rosanna Brazzi was in the Katharine Hepburn version.
Yeah, this was
Sergio Franchi.
Sergio Franchi, right. Yes, right.
Who was on Ed Sullivan all the time. Good job. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, hi, it's Robert. How are you?
Good, thank you.
The sunglasses question. Would the city be a skiing region like Denver or Aspen?
Would it be a what?
A skiing region.
Area.
No, not a skiing region. That's a good. Okay. That's a good way to look at it.
Okay. And also for the comic book, was it Nancy?
It wasn't Nancy.
Oh, okay. And Bamboo Harvester, was that an animal?
I'm not going to say. But it could have been.
Oh, an animal.
It was Mr. Ed.
It was Mr. Ed. Yes.
There you go. Hey, I get a bell.
Good job.
Thank you.
What do you mean? The horse was named that before?
That was the original name of Mr. Ed, Bamboo Harvester.
Oh. Well, you got some very sharp callers tonight.
Yes, yeah. We do. As always. And let's see. Jerry, I think it's your turn. It's your turn, I believe.
Okay. Okay, half of France's new cabinet is made up of women. How do the other G8 nations rate in terms of women in government positions and powers? The other nations being United States, Germany, Canada, Britain, Italy, Russia, and Japan.
Hmm. So, how do you want to quantify
well,
this?
Well, I wouldn't expect you to just. I don't know, I guess most to least.
Oh.
Is that a good way
Weber,
to do it?
Well, give the countries you want again here.
Germany, United States, Italy, Japan, Russia, Canada, and United Kingdom.
And Russia.
So which of these countries have the most women in positions of power in government and which have the least? So you could just, you know... make a ranking.
All right. I'll say Germany has the most.
That's second to France.
Second to France?
Yeah, 37%.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Actually, because they do have the chancellors.
You are, yeah, that's a good start. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'll just guess number two. Let's see. Or number three, rather. Okay. I'll say U.S.
Very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Better than one might have thought. 25%.
There are a few women in the cabinet, and then, of course, Hillary Clinton, of course, Secretary of State. So, yeah.
And I guess, and also the legislature.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're looking for the next, five, I guess.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, the number is to join us is 415-841-4134. And we are about halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Jerry, what do you have?
Okay, what country citizens work the longest hours in Europe? And I have the names of six famous people, and you tell me who their equally famous former or current father-in-law was. We're down to four now because two of these were guests. The remaining ones are George Clooney, Chris Sarandon, James Seymour, and Kenneth Cole. Who was their...
Famous father,
current or former.
I think all I have left is, what was the first movie adaptation of a comic book? Not a comic strip, a comic book. What was the first movie adaptation of a comic book, and who was the, what was the character involved there?
Cass and Jammer Kids?
No. I mean, this wasn't a cartoon. This was live action.
Okay.
And, okay, let's see, okay, let me do this question here because this is a slightly longer question.
And where in the U.S. were the I didn't read that again, did I? Where in the U.S. were the first commercially produced sunglasses sold?
Okay, right. What city you're looking for? A city.
What city? Yeah.
Okay. All right. So this is a question about game shows, and there were some. These are people who you would not ordinarily think as a host for a game show. And I'm going to give you six of them, and I want you to tell me the game show that they hosted.
Okay.
So again, these are people who you would not ordinarily think of as game show host types. So tell me the game show that they hosted. So number one, Dick Cavett. Number
two. A game show, not a quiz show.
Either one. Okay. Number two, Bill Cosby. Number three, Jackie Gleason.
Gleason, okay.
Number four, Moss Hart.
Well, yeah.
Number five, Paul Rubens, also known to you out there as Pee Wee Herman, but he hosted as Paul Rubens.
Yeah.
And number six, Rod Serling.
Rod Serling, really?
Yeah, really. So, again, these are unlikely game show hosts. I want you to tell me the game show that they hosted. Number one. Let me just read the list once more. Well, number one, Dick Cavett. Number two, Bill Cosby. Number three, Jackie Gleason. Number four, Moss Hart. Number five, Paul Rubens. And number six, Rod Serling. Okay, I'll give you one guess, Jerry.
Well, now I should get two. Moss Hart, I know he was on a lot of panel show, quiz shows, but he was the host of a game.
Yeah, he was the host of this.
Wow. Okay, well, Gleason hosted a famously short-lived, like, 2 weeks game show called You're In the Picture.
That's it. You want to guess
He came on the second week and made...
And apologized.
Apologized, yeah.
Do you want to guess the year for that? It's not necessary,
I guess it was maybe the 70s.
Oh, no, way before.
Way before,
61.
Okay. You're In the Picture.
You're In the Picture, yeah. You can actually find, I think you could find that on YouTube where he comes out and apologizes. So I'm still looking for Dick Cavett, Bill Cosby, Moss Hart, Paul Rubens, and Rod Serling.
I can't imagine either Hart or Serling hosting a game show.
And I will say that Rod Serling was not the only host of this. I mean, in other words, it was a fairly long-running game show, which he was one of the hosts of over a period of years.
Rotating hosts. Yeah. Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Kevin in Los Angeles.
Hey, Kevin.
I take a couple guesses on the game shows.
Yes.
I know Bill Cosby did a revival of Kids Say the Darndest Things, but I don't know if that's a game show.
Yeah, that's not quite what I'm looking for.
That's what I had, too.
Okay. And then Pee-wee did a show. It was based on a video game called You Don't Know Jack.
Yes, he did.
I actually watched it when it was on, and it's kind of funny. The show was awful, but he was so good. It was like...
What was that about?
It was trivia taken from a computer game, basically.
Yeah,
and that was 2001. That was the newest one. Yeah,
he was really good. So now the superhero movie, I'm kind of confused because I don't know if serials are included.
Yes, they are included. They are included.
Okay, then I'm going to say. And see, here's the other thing is that. Flash Gordon was one of the earlier serials, and he did have comic books that were reprints of what was in the paper.
No, not the same.
Okay, then Shazam. How about him?
It is Shazam. So better known as?
Captain Marvel.
Yeah, exactly. All right, good job.
And Billy Batson.
Yeah, 1941, actually.
Yeah, most people consider him to be the first, but I don't know. It's not an actual movie, if you ask me. But, okay, so here's what I have for you guys. I have a question, but I have a backup question in case you don't have the right answer to my first query for you.
You mean the wrong answer or the right answer?
We do have that.
Yeah, wait a minute.
I said to put something together patriotic for you. Have you seen the movie 1776?
Long time ago.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, Jerry's seen it.
Okay.
Jerry probably saw the stage show, too.
I did.
I'm going to give you five of the principal characters, and you tell me the actor who played them. Mostly they're character actors or Broadway actors.
Okay.
All of them did play this role on Broadway and then also played it in the film.
All right.
So the five roles are John Adams, Ben Franklin,
Jefferson. Let's do it one at a time. John Adams, is that William Daniels?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Benjamin Franklin.
That's Howard Da Silva.
Howard Da Silva, yeah.
Yep. Thomas Jefferson.
Oh, that's Ken Howard.
Yes. John Hancock. This is a tough one.
Oh.
Is that H.E. Marshall?
No.
Was he in that movie? I don't think he was.
This guy's best roles were on soap operas, including Dark Shadows.
Really? Dark Shadows.
So if you watch Dark Shadows, you may know who he is.
Well, I did when I was a little kid, but...
he didn't have too many movie roles.
Huh.
And he played who again? I'm sorry.
John Hancock.
I'll give you the last
character. Okay.
This will be Edward Rutledge. Now, the person I'm looking for replaced the original actor, but he's the one who was in the movie.
Can you give us another credit for this person?
You want an easy credit?
Use your own judgment.
All right, Northern Exposure.
Northern Exposure.
Oh, that's Richard Kiley?
No.
No.
Was he in the Northern Exposure?
Like, not Ray Walston. Northern Exposure, let me think.
I can see his face. I can't think of his name, though.
Yeah, he's the one who owned the bar.
Oh, well, Barry Corbin?
No.
Ran
the bar.
Oh, yeah. He was on Broadway for a long time.
Oh, yeah, John McMartin? Yeah.
Not John McMartin, but it's the
John McMartin.
I know who this is. Yeah. Oh, boy.
I'll throw it out there for
me. Yeah. Does it start with an R?
No, it starts with a C.
I know what he looks like. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
he was an older guy with, well, at the time in Northern Exposure, he had sort of grayish hair and plain, he had a clean shaven. He's still doing stuff on Broadway, I think. No, I don't remember his name, though. Sorry.
His name's John Cullum.
John Cullum.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Sure. John
right.
Cullum, yeah.
Cullum.
And the other one, the one who played John Hancock, his name was David Ford.
No, I wouldn't have gotten that.
No.
That was a really tough one.
All right.
Okay, have a good week, y'all.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay,
bye-bye.
I guess I always get them mixed up, McMartin and Cullum. Do they look alike, or are they just...
They do look a little bit alike.
The same type.
Yeah.
Okay.
And next call. Hi, you're on Mind the Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Hi, this is Linda Nelserito.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. Bill Cosby played You Bet Your Life.
Right.
Yes.
Good.
Trying to take the place of Groucho.
That's right.
Not going to happen.
No.
Okay, and I would like to make a guess about the question, Jerry's question about the cabinets. I would like to guess the countries with the lowest percentage of women. I can't decide between Russia and Japan. Is it either of those?
Well, those are the two lowest. So
all right, there you go.
All right, I guess that's...
Japan is 5%, Russia 7%.
Uh-huh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, I have a question about nations also. And there's a yearly poll done by the Roper Organization, which measures the best overall reputation of countries in the world. It's on a number of different criteria, and they take a survey. And so they've come out with their list for last year. And I wondered if you could tell me the top 10 nations on that poll. It's sort of a most admired country is what it is.
Most admired country.
Yeah, that's... Or best overall reputation. That's the way it's summed up in the article.
Is Denmark one?
No.
Oh, okay. Canada.
Canada is one. It's number 6.
Are you asking this question because the United States is not on that list?
Well, that sounds like, have you stopped beating your wife?
Yeah.
Like that.
All right.
I think I better answer that.
All right, I'll say the United States then.
Yes. What number?
Oh, I'll say 7.
Numero uno.
Oh, really? Good.
Yeah.
We're still number 1 in something.
Mm-hmm.
And so Canada. How about New Zealand?
No.
Oh. France.
Yes. France is number 4.
And how about Sweden or Norway?
Sweden is on there. It's number 10.
Okay. And this is the most admired countries?
Yes.
Roughly?
Best overall reputation. They gave a number of criteria having to do with exports, governance, culture, people, tourism.
Switzerland?
Immigration.
Switzerland?
Switzerland is, yes, number 9.
Okay. How about the UK?
Yes, it's number 3.
Ireland?
No, I don't think they're doing too well right now.
All right, let's see. Italy?
Yes, Italy is number 7.
All right, you better fill in the rest for us.
Okay, United States number 1. Germany, number 2. UK is 3. France is 4. Fifth one is Japan. Then Canada, 6. Italy, 7. Australia, number 8. And Switzerland, 9. Sweden, number 10.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You did pretty well.
Yeah. Not bad. There we go. That's for us. All right.
Thanks.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We certainly enjoy bringing it to you. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. If you'd like to join us with a question or answer, the number is 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. You look like you were going to say something.
You're right. On the host of game shows, is the Cabot one a remake of a former show?
I don't know if I'd call it a remake. It's a long-running show.
But it wasn't like Cosby doing You Bet Your Life.
It wasn't a show that had a famous host.
It wasn't a famous show before.
No, and I think he only did it for a year. Because I only have 1 year listed for it.
Was this after or before his talk show, do you know?
It was after.
Yeah. Okay.
And let's see. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, my guess for the sunglasses is Las Vegas.
No.
Not bad.
Good guess. I thought it might be for watching the nuclear blast.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
That's a very good guess.
I have a question for you. North Face invented the replacement for the old-fashioned pup tent. Who was their inspiration?
What was the inspiration for their tent? Or who designed?
Yeah, for the modern North Face invented self-standing tent.
What was the inspiration? Was it like a teepee or something like that? Like an Indian?
A particular individual.
Oh, an individual. Okay. So the individual you're looking for didn't design it. This individual was just the inspiration for it.
I believe so. He may have had some design input. I'm not sure.
Okay. Is this individual famous for other things as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tent. Design a tent. We don't know.
The hint would be the dodecahedron.
Oh, Buckminster Fuller?
Excellent.
Okay. Oh.
Good.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't have gone that without a hint, that's for sure. Okay, here's another TV question for you. You remember what Howdy Doody's brother's name was?
It's another pun.
This wasn't exactly the question, but
I don't remember.
It's Double Doody.
Oh.
What was his sister's name?
I don't know. Something like that. Some pun like that.
It was a pun, yeah.
Neither of them were on the show very much, were they?
No, that's true, yeah. But they did show up.
I give it what?
Well, I'm going to leave it to the audience.
Okay, all right.
Yes. What was the name of Howdy Doody's sister? All right, there's a question for you. There's a question you don't hear every day.
No.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi. I'm wondering if the answer for the famous father-in-laws for George Clooney is Martin Balsam?
Correct.
Oh.
Very good.
He was married to Talia?
I don't know.
Is Talia
Martin Balsam? She's on Bad Men now. She is, okay.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's an interesting connection, yeah. Oh.
And also for the famous father-in-laws, for Jane Seymour, is it Richard Attenborough?
It is.
No, very good.
Have you been looking this up, or you just need it?
No, I'm just a celebrity.
Smart girl, okay. Woman.
So aware of celebrities.
Okay, great.
Interesting. I didn't know either one of those.
Yeah.
Good job. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
All right. So all I want now is Chris Sarandon and Kenneth Cole.
So he was married to Martin Balsam's daughter, and then Jane Seymour was married to Richard Attenborough's son.
Yeah.
Is it Richard Attenborough's son?
Yeah, I guess. I think it's Richard.
Or David. I don't know.
I've got Richard. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I don't know. So which ones do you have left there?
Kenneth Cole and Chris Sarandon.
All right. Chris Sarandon.
I'm very impressed people got these.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, this is Ruth in Berkeley.
Hi, Ruth.
You had a question about common market countries and which one had...
The G8 countries, yeah, right.
G8, okay. I'm saying Poland.
No, it's not on there.
Okay. Bye.
Oh, thank you, Ruth. Bye-bye. All right, Jerry, you have a quick question you can throw in?
Oh, quick question. Okay, well...
You can't expect me to use up all my howdy doody questions.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I don't know. I don't think there's any quickies. Let me get some more calls. All right. What was the annual Golden Gate Bridge toll revenue last year? Obviously just a big guess, but...
Here's a question to bring the show to a screeching halt.
That's what you asked.
The answer. The
annual
revenue?
Golden Gate Bridge toll
just
revenue.
From the one bridge?
Yeah.
Well, they charge so much now to get across. What is it, $6 or $7 now? Let's see. I'll say total revenue. I'll say $500 million.
No.
All right. Is that low or high? Can you tell me that?
High.
That's high. All right. Okay. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
This is Bart in San Francisco.
Hey.
My pick for the location, the city that marketed the sunglasses first is San Diego.
No.
No.
Good guess.
Well, possible, but no.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Bart.
Bye.
What kind of hint can you give him on this? You're getting a lot of guesses. Is it east or west of the Mississippi?
Yeah, I was going to say east, yeah.
East of the Mississippi. Okay. And you think there's a logical answer to this?
Somewhat, yeah.
Somewhat?
Uh-huh.
It wasn't Miami.
More than somewhat, I would say.
Okay. And it's in the United States, the continental United States?
Yes.
All right. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
That me?
It is you.
Oh, hi. Chris, San Francisco?
Hi, Chris.
I'm going to guess on the comic book that was a movie.
Yes, somebody actually got that, but go ahead. What did you have in mind?
Somebody got that?
No, go ahead. I
was thinking Prince Valiant.
Well, of course, they did make that into a movie. You're right about that. But the first one, the first movie adaptation of a comic book was the Captain Marvel, Adventures of Captain Marvel.
Oh, I don't know where I was listening. Oh, okay. Well, thanks a lot.
Well, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Right. Somebody guessed Blondie. I don't think that was ever a comic book, was it?
I'm not sure.
I read every comic book there was. I don't remember.
The list I saw broke it up in terms of comic strips and comic books. So right. Mm-hmm. That's what
it's
I wanted.
It's odd that it wasn't because it was so popular. Still is. I guess that's the oldest comic strip now running, isn't it?
Blondie? Is it? Is it still? I'm not sure.
I think it must be. It's the oldest that I know.
Do you know what her maiden name was?
Yes. No, but she was a flapper originally. Yeah. What was her name? I've heard it.
I'll leave it out.
Okay.
I'll give it to you at the end of the show. And
something like Blondie Dingbat or something.
No, it's not quite that crude.
Okay.
And we do have two lines open, so if you'd like to give us a call, we'll get as many calls in as we can. That's 415-841-4134 with a question or answer. 415-841-4134. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Robert and Karen in Bernal Heights.
Hi.
Is the Sunglass City Phoenix?
No.
All right.
Oh, okay. Phoenix Optical, yeah.
Dancing all around. Mm-hmm. It is east of the Mississippi.
And which Phoenix is not, I guess.
No.
Definitely not. Do you have a moment for a question?
Yes.
So there was a list published recently of the 10 most read books, a.k.a. the books with most copies printed and sold for the past 50 years.
Of any kind of book,
yeah. Of any kind of books. Mm. But only three of them were, well, depends upon how you construe it, but were nonfiction. Most of them were fiction.
This is a better early part of the show question.
So
yeah.
Only three of them were fiction?
I can call back with this another time if you want more time.
Well, we might as well guess
that. It's good. Well, yeah, but you hate to just...
Just to go over once more, only three of them were fiction?
Were nonfiction.
Nonfiction, I'm sorry. Okay.
Most of them were fiction.
And this is over a span of how many years?
50.
It's one of them, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
You could construe it either way.
It's one of them Dale Carnegie book, How to Win Friends.
No, but you're on the right track with that.
What'd you say?
He says you're on the right track.
Okay,
not one. I'm okay, you're okay?
No.
But
Dale Carnegie was closer.
Okay.
How to Pull Your Own Strings?
No.
What color is your parachute?
That parachute. What, is that one?
Both of these books are pretty old.
Oh.
So it's not like The Fountainhead or anything like that. Or Atlas Shrugged.
How to Win Friends Like
That. These are nonfiction.
Nonfiction, I'm sorry. It's not like Mao's Little Red Book or anything like
that. That's one of them.
Okay.
That's number two.
He's breaking up here.
Quotation from Mao is number two.
You're breaking up, and we've only got a couple of minutes. Call next week at the beginning of the show, and then we'll do it again.
Great. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks a lot. Sorry about that.
Breaking up is hard to do.
And next call.
Hi, am I on?
Hi, you are.
Hi, this is Doug from Palo Alto.
Hi, Doug.
Hi. Say, I've got a howdy doody question.
Okay.
The character that played Clarabelle Clown later became a major TV person.
Captain Kangaroo.
Yeah, that's right.
Bob Keeshan.
Bob Keeshan, yeah.
Right, okay. Hey, thanks. Great show, guys.
Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Ed. I just will answer my own question about the polonium poisoning the Russian man.
Yes.
His name was Alexander Litvinko, and he was poisoned by putting polonium in his tea. And evidence, most likely, yes, Arafat was poisoned as well. There's a lot of evidence at this time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ed. All right, time to clean up here. What do we got?
Okay, well, the annual Golden Gate Bridge toll revenue last year was $100 million. The country whose citizens work the longest hours in Europe and a fine lot of good it's done them is Greece.
Oh.
Greece. The remaining famous people, too, that have their equally famous former or current father-in-law, Chris Sarandon, is Monty Hall.
That's interesting.
And Kenneth Cole is Mario Cuomo. And where in the United States were the first commercially produced sunglasses sold? It was at Woolworths in 1929 on the Atlantic City boardwalk.
All right. Well, that makes sense. Okay. Let's see.
Oh, wait. I got to answer the rest of the women in the cabinet. Here's the ranking for the most women in government. France, Germany, United States, Canada, United Kingdom, Italy, Russia, and Japan.
Okay. The Howdy Doody sister's name was Heidi Doody. Heidi Doody. The game show, here are the game shows. Dick Cavett hosted College Bowl when it was on a year. Bill Cosby, You Bet Your Life. Jackie Gleason, You're in the Picture. Moss Hart was Answer Yes or No. It was called.
Never heard of that.
1950. Paul Rubens, You Don't Know Jack. And Rod Serling was one of the hosts of Liars Club. Remember Liars Club?
Vaguely.
That was on a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, if we did not get your call, we do apologize. Blondie's maiden name is Boopadoop, by the way.
That's right. I said ding-a-ling.
If we did not get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. We certainly enjoy bringing it to you. We hope you enjoy the show as well. And please join us next Sunday at that same time. The panel tonight was author Jerry Nachman. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Of course, our thanks to the wonderful Debbie Kennedy, who handles everything with such finesse. So, thanks, everybody. Have a great evening, and join us next Sunday. Bye-bye.
If you ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure...